Prayer. Father in heaven, we have gathered ourselves together this morning as we have gathered that we would come and worship Thee, our God, knowing that it is a day set aside for us and that the leading of the Holy Spirit would be amongst us, guiding and teaching us from Thy Word as we submit ourselves into Thy care and keeping. We pray, Heavenly Father, that You'll be with Thy servants when the words go forth, and that we might utter Your message as You would reveal it. We look into Your Word. We thank You for it. Pray a blessing upon it in Jesus' name. Amen. With God's help, I would like to read out of the book of Ephesians in chapter 1. Ephesians chapter 1.
Brate, naša sa Božjom pomoći da se pročita iz Efesima poslanica apostola Pavla, prva glava.
Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ by the will of God, to the saints which are at Ephesus and to the faithful in Christ Jesus. Grace be to you and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. Blessed be the God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ, according as he hath chosen us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love, having predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will, to the praise of the glory of his grace, wherein he hath made us accepted in the beloved, in whom we have redemption through his blood and forgiveness of sins according to the riches of his grace, wherein he hath abounded toward us in all wisdom and prudence, having made known unto us the mysteries of his will, according to his good pleasure, which he hath purposed in himself, that in the dispensation of the fullness of times he might gather together in one all things in Christ, both which are in heaven and which are on earth, even in him, in whom also we have obtained an inheritance, being predestinated according to the purpose of him who worketh all things after the counsel of his own will, that we should be to the praise of his glory who first trusted in Christ, in whom we also trusted after that ye heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also after that ye believed, ye were sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise, which is the earnest of our inheritance until the redemption of the purchased possession unto the praise of his glory. And wherefore I, so after I heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus and love unto all the saints, cease not to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ and the Father of glory may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him, the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that ye may know what is the hope of his calling and what the riches of his glory of his inheritance in the saints, and what is the exceeding greatness of his power to usward who believe, according to the working of his mighty power, which we wrought in Christ, when we raised him from the dead and set him at his own right hand and in the heavens, heavenly places, far above all principalities and powers and might and dominion, and every name that is named, not only in this world, but also in that which is to come, and hath put all things under his feet, and gave him to be the head over all things to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him that filleth all in all. May God bless the reading of the word. May we bow before him in prayer. We know and believe that the Apostle Paul, in his missionary journeys, had come to Ephesus to bring forth the gospel of Jesus Christ. And as he started his ministry in the book of Acts, we read how he spoke to many and he traveled very many places to bring the gospel message to these people. And in Ephesus, we see here where he writes them a letter then to encourage them in their walk with the Lord, to encourage them, to strengthen them in their faith. And he actually commends them here as he says, "Blessed be the God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ." And I find that this is true even with us today, how we gather ourselves together to hear God's word, to glorify him, to worship him. And he gives us these blessings that come from the Heavenly Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. And he blesses us with all spiritual blessings. I don't know about you, but sometimes I have to stop and think, what are the spiritual blessings that God has given me? And more often than not, I find it too numerous to number. But nonetheless, I find it needful and necessary to thank him for what he does, thank him for his grace, his mercy, which is part of these spiritual blessings that he bestows upon us day by day. And as he reminds them that, as he says in verse 4, according as he hath chosen us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy without blame before him in love. Now there are people that perhaps don't believe in predestination. And I believe that it's a hard thing to comprehend and understand. Because of the deep meaning of predestination, we have a hard time believing and understanding how God, for the foundation of the world, which is many years ago already, knew that he was going to call you and I to be his children. How could this be? It seems almost impossible. And that's because we have such finite minds. We just don't grasp, can't grasp that understanding. But according to his word, according to this, he has predestined us. And so then I've had people tell me, well, then everybody is God's children. Everybody is, we don't really need to believe. We need to believe in Jesus Christ, but we're predestined. It's all taken care of. Don't worry. He's predestined us to be his children. Well, then if that were the case, then he would have a whole bunch of robots here and not people with choice. You see, we have a choice. And we have a choice whether we want to be a part of this faith and this belief in Jesus Christ or not. We have that choice. And if we do believe it, then the predestination comes into play. We've been predestined. But if we refuse it, we've taken it on our own will. We take it on our own self. And we are no need of him. And we know that that's not according to his word. So you see, he encourages the church in Ephesus that they have been chosen by him. And this is the same with us. We have been chosen. We have been called. And not all of us had responded when we first got the call. How many times many of us refused to hear, didn't want to respond to that call. Maybe Sunday after Sunday after Sunday, you hear that. But your heart becomes hardened. And like the Christ said about the chosen one, the God's children, the Jews, their heart was hardened. Their heart was hardened, and their eyes were blinded. Their ears were deaf. They was deaf to this plan of salvation so that they would not even understand it because they just flat out refused to do so. And we have that choice too. We have that same choice today. We don't have to believe this. But if you don't, rest assured, you are operating on your own. You are operating on your own will. And God will deal with you when the day comes. Rest assured, every one of us in here will give an account of our lives. Whether it's now or whether it's later, it will happen. If we refuse this plan of salvation, we're going to give an account. And this is what I believe that we need to realize and understand according to this, that he has chosen us from the foundation, having predestined us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to himself according to the good pleasures of his will, through the praise of the glory of his grace, wherein he hath made us accepted in the beloved. So he assured them. And we need to be assured too from time to time that we are accepted in him. If we believe in him, if we follow it, like Christ said, if you love me, keep my commandments. That's how we will be accepted of God, accepted of Christ. Now that might sound like works to you, but it is to some extent. And if you don't, then your faith without works is dead, according to the scriptures. It doesn't mean anything. So you see, we are chosen, called by him for this good reason, is this to the good pleasure of his will. And we also read in the scriptures that it is his will and his desire that none should perish, that all should come to the knowledge of the truth. Unfortunately, many don't make that choice. And so this is what I believe that we find. And the reason they don't realize that, as he says there, in whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of his grace. You see, people that refuse this don't grasp the meaning of what that says there. What the word redemption through his blood means. We have been redeemed. You know what redeemed means? That he has paid the price with his own life and with his own blood. He has redeemed us. This is God's plan. This is from the beginning. This is when he first started. And when the earth was created and so on. And so this has been set in place for you and I, even today in this day and age, that we should realize and understand that we have been redeemed through his blood. You see, we have to believe that. We have to understand that. And this is what he's saying here, wherein he hath abounded us into all wisdom and prudence. You see, having made known unto us the mystery of his will, you see, this is somewhat of a mystery, if you will, because those that went on before, those that were before Christ, didn't really get this understanding like you and I have it today. If you go before the Gospels and the epistles were written, They had God's laws and their rules, and that was all they had. You and I have the entire Bible. We know the entire thing. We can understand it. We can read it and grasp the meaning of it. And as a result, make the decision. Do we want to follow him or don't we want to follow him? Do we believe we're redeemed or don't we believe that? And my friend outside of Christ, if you don't believe that, then rest assured, your sins are not forgiven. For every one of us that have become dead to sin, baptized in the likeness of Jesus Christ, we believe that our sins are forgiven us. We have to believe that. If you don't believe that, you're on the wrong track already. And sometimes we look at our lives and think, how could he forgive such a sinner as me? Well, when you think of the life of the apostle that wrote this epistle, when you think of what he has done, how he committed and killed people, he put them in prison, he went after them, he went to different cities to get them because he thought he was really doing God's will, doing God a big favor by trying to stamp out this doctrine of Jesus Christ until the day that the Lord stopped him in his tracks with blindness. Now, there are not too many people that can say that they have committed the sins that the Apostle Paul did. But thanks be to God. This is the kind of forgiveness our God will bring to us, give to us, in spite of our own selves. And it doesn't make a bit of difference how bad of a sinner we were or are, we can get forgiveness. And this is what he's telling us here, that we have been redeemed by his blood and forgiveness of sins according to the riches of his grace. Thanks be to God. Thanks be to the one that cares enough for us that he would forgive us our trespasses, even as we forgive those who trespass against us. In the Gospels, it makes it very clear, if you don't forgive your men, other people, God won't forgive you. And sometimes we have to be reminded of that. Oh, I can't forgive that. No, you don't understand. That was way too bad what he's done to me. I can't forgive him. Excuse me? You can forgive him. If it's here, if it's in here to do so, you will forgive them. Just as God forgave you for your sins, you must forgive others. And this is the doctrine. This is what Christ teaches. This is what the Apostle Paul is writing to here. That we do have redemption. Thanks be to God for the forgiveness of our sins. And so, having made known unto us the mystery of his will, according to his good pleasure, will which he hath purposed in himself, that in the dispensation of the fullness of times, he might gather together in one all things in Christ, both which are in heaven and which are in earth, even in him. And as he says, in whom also we have obtained an inheritance, being predestinated according to the purpose of him who worketh all things after the counsel of his own will. So you see, this is what he was encouraging the saints that were in Ephesus. The spiritual heritage that they have received. You and I have that same heritage if, in fact, we believe in Jesus Christ and follow the ordinances which are laid out in his word. And so you see, then the apostle, he says that we should be to the praise of his glory, his first trusted in Christ, in whom ye also trusted after that ye heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also after that ye believed, ye were sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise. So he reminds them again, When they come to the belief in Jesus Christ, they were sealed with the Holy Spirit. You and I, as believers, well understand that. That's the reason that we have the baptism of the water and the baptism of the Spirit. That the Holy Spirit is sealed into us in that day until the day of our redemption. And we can thank God that He has made this provision to guide us and to teach us. This is what He is confirming to the church in Ephesus, that you have been sealed because you have answered that call. You have believed in the Lord Jesus Christ. You've accepted this grace and this mercy that He bestows upon us. And so we become sealed with the Holy Spirit, which is the earnest of our inheritance until the redemption of the purchased possession unto the praise of His glory. And so what He says, which is the earnest of our inheritance. In other words, this is kind of a promise, if you will, that He will, and Christ even said this, I must go away, but I will not leave you comfortless. I will send the Holy Spirit. And once they grasped that meaning and wrote this down for us to understand it even today, then we realize here that we have that earnestness of that of our inheritance. And that's what that's like a a prerequisite for us before we ever get to and inherit this inheritance. We have the leading, the promise of the Holy Spirit to guide us unto all truth. Thanks be to God. And we don't have to worry. If we believe and trust, He will guide and direct us if we will be obedient to the leading of His Holy Spirit. It's a promise to us. We have that. And we don't need to worry. And this is what I believe He was portraying to the church. And so by doing that, He says, wherefore I also, after I heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus and love unto all the saints, cease not to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers. So you see, he made a church here in Ephesus, and he just didn't run away and, okay, I'm going to go make another one, and then just kind of forget about them. No. He followed up with these letters and other churches that he wrote these letters to, and encouragement, instruction, exhortation, whatever you want to call it. And this is what he did. And so he prayed for them. It says he prayed for them earnestly when he thinks of us. And I can relate to that because many times of us ministers, when we got together, we prayed for you. We prayed for this church. We prayed for the West Akron congregation more than once, all the time. And not only here, but other saints as well. Because you see, it's needful and necessary that we pray to our Heavenly Father. He wants us to do this. He expects us to do this. And sometimes we need the prayers of those that love us. How many times you've heard someone say, oh, thanks for praying for, I needed that so bad. And so it's important, it's encouraged in God's word that we pray one for another, even as the Apostle Paul did here. We don't have to wait till some apostle prays for us. No, we pray for each other. Pray for the church. Pray that, as he says here, and cease not to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you this spiritual wisdom and revelation and knowledge of Him. And this is the thing that we pray for, that you as the believers, you as the church, might grasp the meaning of what you hear from up here. Not only what you hear, but what you read in your own time and on your own devotions. That God would give you this understanding. And that no man should have to teach you, but you have the Holy Spirit to guide you and to teach you. But if you don't read His word, He won't teach you. You won't know. He encourages us to do this. And so this is why we then, as his ministers, as our fellow believers, believe in the need of prayer. And the Apostle Paul here makes that very clear, that he prayed for the church, that they would have this understanding, that their eyes, it says, of your understanding be enlightened, that ye may know what is the hope of his calling and what the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints. He wants us to know. That's how we know. We pray and ask him. We read his word, and he gives us the answers right in his word. And so this is what he's encouraging us here, even as he did the church in Ephesus. And what is the exceeding greatness of his power to us who believe according to the working of his mighty power, which he wrought in Christ when he raised him from the dead and set him on his own right hand in the heavenly places. You know, oft times we hear about the power of God. And it's like, okay, yeah, I need the power of God. I believe in the power of God. I believe that the power of God raised Jesus Christ, placed him at his own right hand. Yeah, I believe that. But do we believe that God will give us that same power? You see, this is part of our doctrinal belief. And if we ask him, and the only way that he can give us this is through the power of the Holy Spirit. You see, this is part of that mystery that he's talking about. It's hard sometimes for us to understand. But if we don't ask and we don't seek, it won't come. We need to seek his guidance and direction. We need his power to guide us throughout the day, day in and day out. It's not just once a week when we come here and we find his power being revealed. No, it's all the time. It's all the time. And he will give us that power to overcome. He gives us that power to accept his doctrine. He gives us that power to believe in his son, Jesus Christ. That takes that power from God. And this is what he's talking about here. And if we can believe that that power raised Jesus Christ, we certainly can believe he will give us that same power. But we got to believe. We got to trust him. We got to accept his doctrine. And when we don't, we're on our own. And as he says here, far above all principalities and power and might and dominion and every name that is named, not only in this world, but also in the world which is to come, and hath put all things under his feet and gave him to be head over all things to the church. And so he's exhorting them of the preeminence, if you will, of Jesus Christ. All things were made, all things were given to him, not only on earth, but in heaven as well. And he is the head of the church. We read that time and time again. Another belief, another part of our doctrine that we must believe, that Jesus Christ is, in fact, the head of the church. He's our guide. He's our director. He's our hope. And this is what he's telling this congregation or this church in Ephesus. As he says here, which is his body, the fullness of him that filleth all in all. And so, believing in the Lord Jesus Christ and the power that he has given us, the strength that we need, we can see what he does for us. But let me remind you that the church in Ephesus didn't always do this. We can read in the book of Revelation where Christ wrote to the seven churches, and here's what he wrote to the church of Ephesus. Unto the angel of the church of Ephesus write these things, saith he that beholdeth the seven stars in his right hand, who walketh in the midst of the seven golden candlesticks. I know thy works, and thy labor, and thy patience, and how thou canst not bear them which are evil, and thou hast tried them which say they are apostles and are not, and has found them liars, and has borne and has patience, and for my name's sake hath labored and has not fainted. So you see, God knows, Christ knows everything that we do, everything that they did, everything that the book of in Ephesians is written about. He knows that. But he says, nevertheless, I have somewhat against thee. And because thou hast left thy first love, remember therefore from whence thou art fallen, and repent and do the first works, or else I will come unto thee quickly and will remove thy candlestick out of this place, except thou repent. So you see, as strong as they were, as encouraging as they were, written these words, that he would uplift them and strengthen them in their faith and promise this power and so forth. You and I are no different than the Ephesians. And if we aren't careful and we have diminished our first love for Jesus Christ, and when we go back to the time when we was converted and how we was willing to do whatever the elders, whatever we was required to do, we made covenant, we made promises, we will serve the Lord, we love the Lord, and we want to be his child. And so on and on and on. But somehow, time has a way, as it did with these in Ephesus, they have loved, their first love has diminished. Has our first love diminished? Examine. We have to examine ourselves. Is my love for Jesus Christ as it was in the beginning? So you see, we are warned. We are given warnings in his word. But we don't have to worry, because he says here, except thou repent. But this thou hast, that thou hatest the deeds of the Nicolaitans, which I also. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. To him that overcometh will I give to eat the tree of life, which is in the midst of the paradise of God. You see, yes, we fail. And maybe our first love has diminished. But unless we repent and ask God to help us, forgive us where he has failed him, he will remove us just like this candlestick. Thanks be to God. He gives us the power to overcome. And if we repent, we read in the scriptures, confess your faults one to another, that the blood of Jesus Christ may cleanse you from all unrighteousness. We have that hope. You see, we have an advocate, and that's Jesus Christ. He intercedes for us. He's at the right hand of God. He intercedes for us. And his promises in his word, he will help us. He will help us overcome. But we still have choices to make. When Satan comes to us with temptations, use the power that God gives us to overcome, so that we can have this, as he says here, overcome, that I give to eat of the tree of life, which is in the midst of God, midst of paradise with God. For every one of us has that hope and desire. We have inherited this, but we do have a responsibility to maintain our faith and our trust in the living God, to believe in his power, to believe in the resurrection, all of the things that the Bible teaches us. We must follow his ways, put our trust and our cares upon him, and wait for the leading of the Holy Spirit in our lives. God bless these words upon us.